Welcome to Guys We Fucked. Guys We Fucked.
Guys We Fucked.
I'm Christina.
I'm Corinne.
We're sorry about last night.
The anti-slut shaming podcast. I never stop.
Hello, you fuckers. How you doing? Welcome to another episode of Guys We Fucked.
It is the anti-slut shaming and also anti-rape podcast. I feel like we should rename it at this point. I'm Corinne Fisher. You can find me on social media at philanthropy gal. That's the word philanthropy, then the word gal, both together.
I'm Christina Hutchinson. You can find me on social media by just typing in the handle Christina Hutch. How you doing? What's up? What's new in your life?
I don't know. You can find us both at Sorry About Last Night or on Twitter. It's SRY About Last NYT. We basically just thought we never say that.
Yeah.
And it's pretty unprofessional. We get yelled at a lot by our team that we don't say it.
Like, you never promote your social media. How come your followers aren't that high? I'm like,
well, I thought it was good, but thank you. Right. And then additionally, if there's a way that you want to support the podcast, it's completely free and will only take a few moments of our of your time, not our time. It'll take zero of our time, but we'll love you forever. Just give us a review on iTunes, hopefully a positive
one. Yeah, if it's negative, just keep it to yourself.
If it's negative,
email
it
to us.
Yeah, you just call us a cunt in an email. We'd prefer that, but just don't make the star rating go down. That really affects people being able to discover the podcast, us being able to do more shit that you can see.
Yeah.
And rate speaking us on iTunes. Of seeing us.
Oh my God, come see us live.
Yeah, absolutely. Tonight and tomorrow night, Sacramento. Hi. We're inside you. We're doing shows.
You feel it?
We're performing. We have one show tonight. We have two shows tomorrow night. There's tickets still available, and we would love you to come. And then Sunday, we are going to be in San Francisco as part of Sketch Fest. Tickets still available for that one as well. We know there's a ton of San Fran fans, so please buy tickets. This is a new tour. It's not the same show you've seen before. It's a new one that we developed just for you. We're really excited about it. Packed with stand-up, still audience participation. A new video. And then Tuesday, we're going to be in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada.
Yeah.
A lot of people are commenting like, is this a different Ottawa? No. It's Canada. It's not an American Ottawa. I honestly did not even know an American Ottawa existed.
And if it does, who cares?
I think it's in California. Yeah, but we are 100% talking about the Canadian one. So hi, if you're in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, we have not been there before and we are going to be there. Tell your friends.
Tuesday.
Tell your relatives.
Tell your mom. Tell your dad. Tell your kids. And then next week, next Thursday, Friday, Saturday, which is February 1st through 2nd, Corinne and I are going to be at Helium Comedy Club in Buffalo, New York. It's going to be very cold and we're going to be very bored and freezing, but not at night because we're going to be doing the Bridget Bishop tour for you. So all tickets can be found at sorryaboutlastnightcomedy.com/tours. But tell anybody you've ever met that lives even near Buffalo, New York. They should come.
Right.
And then February 14th is Valentine's Day. It's also the day that my comedy album comes out with Joseph Vessi, who's a former guest at Guys We Fucked and also a stand-up comedian. It's called Maybe It's You. Fun fact about the album, it's $9.99.
Oh, I was gonna say, did you do your homework?
I did.
I did. I accidentally pop quizzed Christina on her album last week. And
I got it wrong because I didn't know it.
Well, you just said nothing. You didn't give any wrong information. You just didn't give... You were just vague about it. You were coy.
And I'm pretty sure... we're going to be doing a show in Los Angeles that week what date? I don't know.
We're going to keep revealing stuff.
Exactly.
Stay tuned.
Exactly. And then,
And then on Friday, February 23rd, Nacho Bitches is at New York Comedy Club. Show's at 11:15 p.m. Tickets are $12 with code Nacho. The show is 16 and up. So, I mean, you can't drink if you're 16, but you can have a soda and some popcorn.
Oh.
And honestly, as a 32-year-old woman, I'm going to tell you that's better than any drink you're gonna have.
Truly it is. The next day, Saturday, February 24th, is Glamour Puss, hosted by myself and Wendy Starling. It's happening at Zinc Bar at 7:30 p.m. in the West Village. It'll be the best night of your entire life. Today's episode, we're gonna do all these ads, guys. It's gonna be great.
Today's episode
I gotta do the first one.
There's another one?
Yeah. Why didn't you just
wait? Oh.
Right? Okay. Pretend you didn't hear that. Today's episode is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company that lets lets you message a licensed therapist from anywhere at any time. And they really do mean any time. Can't imagine fitting another appointment into your life? Well, with Talkspace Therapy, is as easy as sending your therapist a message. No commute, no leaving the office, no judgments. To match with a perfect therapist for a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, go to Talkspace.com/GWF. Use code GWF to get $30 off your first month and show your support for Guys We Fucked. That's GWF and Talkspace.com/GWF. Talkspace. My boyfriend uses it and it really helps him, and retroactively it helps me.
And today we are welcoming a new sponsor to the podcast, Daily Harvest. Now, this was a fun one to get. You've probably seen a Daily Harvest on Instagram. This was fun because by hosting Guys We Fucked, we sometimes just get random shipments in the mail and we don't know that we're doing ads for these people yet. Like, we've approved them kind of like ages ago, and then we don't know if they actually bought ads or not. And so we just got this huge shipment of Daily Harvest and we're like, oh, I guess they bought ads with us and we should consume these. But they're really good. They're really good and really convenient. We've all seen a mouthwatering healthy smoothie on Instagram thought, that's the kind of thing I should be eating. But who has time to make that? And I know you're laughing right now, but honestly, it's not even like the time to cut up the vegetables. It's just like, do you have the fruits and vegetables in your house? Are you going to do it if you didn't pay for them and have them ready to go in your freezer?
And you're going to look up a recipe that tastes delicious?
Probably not. And also when you, I like living alone, I always buy a lot of fruits and vegetables and then I end up throwing away half of them or like giving them to my dog. And it's, I feel so wasteful. But when you put them in the freezer, hell, they last for fucking ever. I'm still eating kale from my last apartment, to be honest.
Do you still have any Daily Harvest ones left in your freezer? Mine are all gone.
Yeah, I have them left because I had another thing that I was already eating before that, but they didn't pay us, so I can't promote it. Wouldn't it be great if you could get those picture perfect nutrients without having to hit the farmer's market?
Yeah, dude.
And chop up a billion fruits and vegetables?
Honestly, yeah.
Now you can get all your superfoods super fast with Daily Harvest. Daily Harvest sends superfood eats straight to your door with your choice of smoothies, activated breakfast bowls, or nice cream vegan sundaes. Each single serving cup comes ready to blend or heat because they have some soupies. Cups are stored in the freezer so they're ready whenever you are. Their produce is organic and unrefined and looks as amazing as it tastes.
True.
You can actually see all of the whole ingredients when you open up the cup.
Also true.
Daily Harvest freezes all their ingredients at the peak of freshness, sealing in their nutritional value, which if you know anything about making smoothies is key. Like if you make a smoothie on Monday, put it in the refrigerator and drink it on Tuesday. I don't know if you knew this, but it's losing its nutritional value as it sits in the refrigerator. Preparing each cup is insanely easy. Just add water, or if you're feeling fancy, you can substitute other liquids like coconut or almond milk. I do like a little, I like coconut water actually.
Because that's a good idea.
Calorically low, but it gives you that extra burst of hydration.
Damn, Corinne, good tip.
So you guys can go to daily-harvest.com and enter promo code GWF to get 3 items free in your first box. That's promo code GWF for 3 free Daily Harvest cups at daily-harvest.com. Daily dash, like a hyphen, harvest.com.
Dude, I'm going to use it. I was actually waiting to order more until we got the promo code because I'm like, Oh, really? I hope so. They're really fucking good. Mm-hmm. And I never have time to eat good shit. Ugh, it's so annoying. Honestly, out of all the products we've gotten, Daily Harvest and the ad I'm about to read for MeUndies are the two that I'm like, man, these actually really help my life and make it better.
Well, Daily Harvest is something that I know it's good because it was something I was interested before there was even any like monetary reward for me being interested in it.
Oh, really? That's good.
And just a reminder, Christine and I, like, you know, we do ads now, but we say no and lose a lot of money on a lot of products that they really want us to advertise. And we're like, no, that sounds like complete bullshit.
Yeah. Our main rules are no alcohol, because we will not promote alcohol to minors, because we already promote alcohol enough by existing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's pretty much it. But also, if the product sucks.
No tobacco.
No tobacco. I'm going to, never mind, I'll tell you later. Okay. Hey, You want to look good with your significant other this Valentine's Day, right? Then check out MeUndies Matching Pairs, a unique gift for you and your Valentine. Made from the softest material on earth, we're talking 3 times softer than cotton soft. MeUndies are the most comfortable and fun undies, fun-ass undies you and your significant other will ever own. And I can confidently say that because I'm currently wearing them. And holy shit, guys, I'm on cloud 9. And right now, MeUndies has an exclusive Valentine's Day offer just for our listeners. MeUndies Matching Pairs. MeUndies guarantees you and your significant other will love your matching pairs, or you get your money back, so that's a no-brainer. Get 20% off matching undies for you and your significant other and 100% satisfaction guaranteed. What are you waiting for? Order by February 5th for free standard shipping. To get your 20% off your matching pairs, free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee is what you got to do, okay? Go to your computer or your phone and type in www.meundies.com/GWF. That's meundies.com/GWF. This will be the best Valentine's Day gift that you will ever give. Oh, not blowjobs, MeUndies. Start matching your bottom half to your better half. Go to MeUndies.com/GWF right now and give your dick or your pussy or whatever you got going on in between your legs a treat, a little love hammock for your love parts.
That was me improvising. I cannot wait until I try this to get James to put on the matching MeUndies with me. I can't wait.
Do we have to take a picture or something?
That I'm gonna get. No.
Okay.
Well, no. I was
Steven
on.
Steven only wants black underwear, and when we got that inquiry, yeah. I was like, "Hey, Steven, like which cut?" And he's like, "No black." I'm like, "Oh right, God, you're such a cringe."
Yeah, I don't. James loves the MeUndies. He wears them around a lot, but. I don't know how this is going to go. I was on the call.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. My main thing was just like, you're going to get these shipments out in time. And they said, if you order by February 5th. And I said, cool. Sounds good. Thanks for making a quality product.
Love MeUndies.
And then I went.
How's your life going?
fine. It's going fine. How's your life going?
It's okay. I've been sleeping a lot.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm depressed, but I don't know. I guess when you're depressed, there's no real reason for it.
It could be seasonal depression.
I do know that I have that because when it does, it was warmer out today and I hadn't been outside yet until 2:30. Mm-hmm. And I was the warmth gave me like a burst of energy.
Yeah, it was a beautiful day. I took Alfred on a long walk. He stepped daintily over puddles like Aww. He likes to do. It was fun. We do want to thank everybody. Speaking of walking outside,
walked outside
transitions. We want to thank everyone who came and met up with us for the Women's March on Saturday. It was so fun. We had a nice group of gals come together. We made some signs. Mm-hmm. Alfred walked for 4 hours. I was very proud of him. He didn't growl at anyone or bark at anyone. And he took a shit in the middle of the street, which we dedicated to Donald Trump. And I thought that was hilarious.
It was.
But yeah, it was really great. It was really fun. It was a much more positive. I marched last year in LA, and I'm not blaming this on LA, but it didn't feel, the mood was not right. And I think things were really hot and heavy because we had just, the election was a lot more fresh. People hadn't adjusted. There was a lot of anger that was kind of coming out in maybe not as constructive ways as it could have come out. And so this year I was kind of like, I just didn't even know if I wanted to go. So we kind of like, I was like, let's invite the listeners so that it forces me to go.
Yeah.
And it was
really cool.
It was much better. Yeah.
Who came and thank you guys so much, gals. It was, I think it was mostly women who came up and met us, but
it was only women.
Yeah. It was, they're all very,
wouldn't have it any other way.
Very sweet, very kind. And it was really an honor to march with all of you.
Yeah.
And it was so cool. I love seeing like the little girls, marching with their mom or dad, and holding up signs. And it really reminds you like this shit is really important. And, oh man, it was just such a good fucking day. Like the gay pride parade is usually my favorite day of the year.
Yeah.
It's just a day filled with love. And this came pretty close because it was all people just gathering in support of women and like, it felt really good.
Yeah. And I had a lot of like little good, like mini conversations and interactions with other women. I mean, I think mostly prompted by Alfred, but I'll take what I can get.
Yeah, whatevs.
And we got to make funny signs. I did make a sign that said Lorena Bobbitt is my spirit animal that I was very proud of. Shout out to Esther Koo, who I also saw me.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
A Lorena Bobbitt themed sign. And I was like, great minds think alike.
I was going to put a Samantha Bee quote on my sign. It's like, if you call yourself a feminist, then fuck like a feminist. Mm-hmm. But then I didn't want little kids because some of the signs people were looking at and the kids were like, what does that mean? And I just didn't. I was like, you know what? I'll skip the joke.
I always figure like if a fucking kid is in New York City, they've already seen a grown man take a shit. So
maybe
the word fuck isn't really going to push them over the edge.
Hopefully not.
That's just my feelings on New York things. If it was out of New York, then I'd be like, oh, maybe I guess I should censor myself. I don't know. But yeah, no, it was great. And it was also, it was kind of something to be said about interacting with fans, and I hate that word, but whatever. Hey, fans or listeners, but like that also sounds like we started a cult.
I
love my listeners,
with my loyal followers.
But it was nice to interact with them on like a very human level and not have it be like waiting in line and you know, having them like ask for like a selfie or an autograph, which is fine, but it makes me feel like a different from them. So it's nice to feel like the same and an equal.
Yeah, because that's what we are. We're on the same level. Same. Yeah, yeah. That's one thing that makes me feel weird is always when people put you on a pedestal and you're like, I mean, we're the same. It's okay.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we worked harder than you, but that's not really here nor there.
Yeah, that's not the point.
No. But it's like
in the area of entertainment.
Wait, it's just fucking weird when people are like, I can't believe I'm meeting you, and then I'm like,
I wish my mom liked me that much.
I'm just like,
hey-o.
Like I always think, I'm like, if you were sitting in my bedroom right now and saw all the piles of dirty laundry, you would be,
man, we are real as hell.
Significantly less impressed with meeting me. Anyway, thank you for coming.
Yeah.
Last week was just a fun week. I didn't have a ton of shows booked, so I spent a lot of time consuming other art, which is what I love to do. Mm. And I think sometimes because we do so much art, like I forget that I can consume other people's art. And it was really, really wonderful. And I loved it so much.
Yeah, we saw John Leguizamo's show.
We saw John Leguizamo's show, Latin History for Morons, which was exquisite. They did send us their promotionally, but I want to be very clear that we loved it genuinely.
John Leguizamo is one of the most passionate performers I have ever been lucky enough to witness on stage. Holy fucking shit. And I love us a good entertainment and education combined into one thing.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I learned so much. I was so amped up when we met him. I was like, I just want to like run a lap around the island.
Right.
I was so amped, and it was really, oh my God, that guy is a fucking powerhouse.
Yeah, no, it was truly a dream come true. Like, I think I've mentioned on the podcast before, like he's one of the reasons I started comedy. John Leguizamo, I mean, you know him as an actor, but I think a lot of people don't know outside of the Latino community, like, that he is this really prolific performer of one-person shows. Like, going back years and years and years, decades and decades. And he's so intelligent and he's so well-read. And he did this amazing show.
I don't know how the hell he had time to read all those goddamn books.
Yeah, it was over an hour and a half of just him dancing and doing accents and all over the stage. Just he's just so energetic. And then, you know, not even 10 minutes after, he greeted us at the stage door. He was personable. He was engaging. He was interested. He was
happy.
He took a photo with us. Oh. I fangirled like real hard to an embarrassing level, and he was like very cordial about it.
I cannot believe he was just on stage for 95 minutes and met us and was that kind and polite and happy and energetic.
He was just fantastic.
I'll have what he's having.
Yeah, he was fantastic.
And then we witnessed a fire afterwards.
Yeah, it was just, no one got hurt, so don't worry about it.
But I called 911.
Christina got to see some firefighters. Which was fun. And then what else did I do? And then, so I did that. And then I feel like the following night I went to a Jill Sobule concert because I'm a 56-year-old lesbian.
Yes.
It's just like, you see, that's why the one thing I do love about the internet, like if you follow people on Twitter, like you would never know that they were doing a show or even in your city. And then randomly I saw Mabu John Ronson tweet that he was telling a story at his friend Jill Sobule's concert. And I was like, number one, you're friends with Jill.
He's friends with everyone.
Whoa. And then number two, I was like, I can see you both perform at a gay club, Alan Cummings, the club, actually, Club Cumming, which is a tiny little thing. It used to be this gay club called Eastern Block that was even too gay for me. So you, that's a lot. There's only a couple, like that and the Cock are like where I draw the line. But Club Cumming now is more cabaret inspired. So I can now go there safely again. You know, there are clubs where you just have to know, as a woman who hangs out with gay men a lot, that's like, you know what, they don't want me here.
Right.
And it's
fine. That's okay. And that's totally fine.
They deserve their own, just the same way as I sometimes want things women only.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And that's fine. And then I also, the following day after that, went to Damien Echols art exhibit. I had a very weird week.
What do you mean you don't like that fun?
And I met him. If you don't know who he is, HBO special from ages ago, movie, documentary, Paradise Lost. You're going to lose like years of your life researching this, you know, the mystery of the crime. I mean, there was a crime, just Damien Echols wasn't involved in it is the main thing.
Bummer.
And I got to meet him, and that was he's just a peach, and also lives in Harlem. So I've like seen him around, and I've talked to him before on the subway, but this was, I got a photo and that was great. And then I rounded out my week of consuming art by going to like some weird 90s Spice Girls rave.
What?
With actually today's guest. Yeah.
Wow.
So it was great. And it was so weird because it truly was 90s and that people were smoking cigarettes inside, which I know you hate.
I hate that, but you know,
it did like it really. I felt like it was in this weird place. Like it was called
is very 90s though.
Yeah, it was China Chalet, and I went upstairs, and it felt like a combination between like a bingo hall, an old hotel bar. Only Asian people were working there. Everyone was smoking inside, but like the people at the rave were not mostly Asian. Their podcast listener recognized me, even though it was like pitch black and smoky.
Uh-huh.
There was a drag performance by Age of Aquaria, and it was just crazy. It was craziness and dancing, and I was on a chair singing about spicing up my life.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
And so I was like, oh, well, this is going to obviously lead to, you know, about an hour of new material. And it didn't. But I guess I have to just enjoy the fun for the fun.
Yeah, well, you know.
The problem was, it was because all the stuff was good. And so I'm less inspired by good stuff than bad stuff, which maybe that's a reflection of me.
No, so. I think the good stuff you just take in, you experience it. And then the bad stuff you write jokes about.
Yeah, to kind of set yourself free from the bad experience you had.
So true.
Whatever.
I haven't had sex in so long, man.
Yeah, you mentioned. What's up?
But I'm so just long busy,
for you
man.
Is like three
Six
weeks.
6 days.
Oh. 6 days? That's it?
Maybe less.
6 days?
I just feel like depressed.
Six days.
My vagina's depressed.
I'm not even going to hear 6 days. 6 days? You've been dating for 7 years. The fact that you can, that you
No,
even
we've gone way longer.
No, I'm saying the fact that you want to have sex is amazing.
I know, right? I always thought, one day when I grow up, I'm going to be in a relationship and I'll still want to fuck him even after 7 years.
Listen, it's so interesting because growing up, I always thought that if you were in a relationship, you would like fuck all the time. I don't know where I got that idea.
I also thought when you became an adult that women wore dresses every day, fancy dresses every day.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I was like, I'm going to do that too. And
where did you see that?
I just made it up in my head.
Oh, yeah. No, because I thought like you would just fuck all the time, even though, like I said, I don't know where I got that idea from. Cause it's not, I mean, it's not like I like heard my parents fucking all the time or something. I mean, I just didn't hear, I was upstairs. I didn't hear that at all.
Right. On the side of the house.
Neither here nor there. I cannot confirm nor deny. but then I was listening to Alanis Morissette in my youth, as I did. And there's a line in one of her songs, 21 Things I Want in a Lover, where she says sex more than three times a week on her wish list. And I'm thinking, if this bitch is putting this on her wish list
at a young age,
people are not having as much sex as we think they're having in relationships. And that stayed with me. And
it's true.
Thank God she wrote that song. Otherwise, I would think there was something wrong. And I truly cannot thank her enough. I mean, I've never met that woman, but Jesus Christ, she has shaped my life in such a profound way.
Yeah. Hey, if anybody knows Alanis Morissette, tell her I want to interview her.
Well, you probably just asked her. I don't think she's that busy.
Oh, really?
Well, she has she's very into like new age, the woo woo stuff now.
Oh, okay.
And she does classes in California, which I wanted to go to, but like we're on tour during one of them. And yeah, she has a podcast about like meditation or something.
What the fuck? Have you listened to it?
No, I mean, I'm sure it would make, I have to be careful with the stuff that I intake from people that I love, because if they go off the beaten path, it's going to make me not like them.
I hear you.
I need to be really careful. Like I know Dan Byrne has a lullaby album and it's very sweet that he wrote it for his daughter, but I can't listen to that.
Right.
Because lullabies don't make me want to fuck people. You see what I'm saying here?
They don't.
I need to keep them at a distance. Wanting to fuck people that I love just to keep the fire alive, you know?
Right. Well, it's fun to want to fuck somebody, even if you never fuck them and you know. That's not the point.
It's not about the fucking, it's about the wanting and the imagination, because I've never like dreamed of fucking someone and had the fucking be as like, well, maybe like on par, but like rarely better.
Well, yeah, because sometimes
things are rarely better. My imagination's too wild.
Sometimes the thrill is like, oh my God, that person's finger is inside me. And that's all. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's enough.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of, man, I keep having that damn sex dream.
Oh, it's the
really?
Same one?
Yeah.
Really hope that person isn't listening, but I know they probably are.
Nah, they don't know it's about them. They don't know.
Well, you never know. He's a confident person. He could know.
Maybe. All right. The subject of this email is, he fucked me deaf.
Oh, I forgot we were doing this.
Oh, is that okay?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
I'm just going to go get straight to the point here. Thanks, girl. Last night, me and my boyfriend were having sex. Nothing crazy, just basic sex. When we were done, I stood up and went to the walk to the bathroom. That's like 2 steps away. He looked at me so concerned and asked if I was okay. There was ringing in both my ears and it sounded like I was underwater when he was talking. 2 seconds later, I couldn't hear anything. I was unknowingly screaming at him, I can't hear you. I'm going to get a shower. Eventually, after like 5 minutes in the shower, I could finally hear the water running and felt okay again. We have been together for almost 5 years. That means we have had sex well over 1,000 times. Damn, girl. And have done some pretty ridiculous stuff. How the fuck does basic ass sex after this long cause this? I have no idea. Has this happened to either of you or any of your listeners? I tried Googling it, but found nothing except I'm out of shape. That makes no damn sense to me. I love you girls. Thanks. I have never been fucked to death with an F at the end that I couldn't hear, but I have worked out to death. Like sometimes when I lift, do deadlifts and squats, if I'm cloggy, like if I have nasal drippage or whatever.
Right.
I don't know what the fuck I do, but it involves me lifting something or like, you know, during the actual workout, my hearing will go, I won't go completely deaf, but it'll be foggy as if I have earplugs in and I can barely hear anything. And it's fucking weird. Sometimes I hold both my nostrils like this and I blow, which I don't think is a smart thing to recommend anybody do, because one time I did that and it hurt real bad for a long time. So if anybody else has ever been fucked to deaf,
guys, I got the answer. It out there.
Oh, damn it.
I mean, I hate to tell everyone to Google instead of emailing us, but I'm going to say it again.
That's okay.
I mean, basically, I just went and there's an entire article about us, why it's not uncommon for a woman.
I don't know. Of course, it only happens to the women.
No, I don't know. Sorry. Oh, okay, it's a woman-oriented blog. This is like a piece from Vice, Vice and Broadly. Okay. But basically, it's not uncommon to lose hearing after you orgasm.
What?
So I'm guessing this girl orgasm. It just says, sometimes when I come really hard, my ears ring and I go a little deaf. I struggle to hear my boyfriend's sweet post-sex lines, blah, blah, blah.
Damn it. I got to come harder, maybe. Something. Have you ever come to deaf?
To deaf? No, I have okay. not. I like silence, though, so someone could have been talking.
And you were just appreciating the silence.
Okay, so the doctor answers a question and he says, I think I may have found the possible explanations, but first a big disclaimer, I am not an expert in the subject of tinnitus, which is the scientific term for ringing in the ears, or female orgasm. The findings detailed here are not extensive, blah, blah, blah. So give me the answer. Where's the ear gum? So there are four, basically there are four phases of the human sexual response cycle: the excitement phase, plateau phase, orgasmic phase, and resolution phase. During the excitement and plateau phase, the heart rate, respiratory rate, and blood pressure go up. Some muscles contract voluntarily and others involuntarily. This arousal and increase in excitement psychologically and physiologically climaxes, pardon the pun. That was him, not me. In the orgasmic phase. The orgasmic phase in males is said to last 10 to 15 seconds, and in females, longer. Sex increases the production of oxytocin, the feel-good hormone, which leads to the release of endorphins, which is natural morphine. A complex interplay of the parasympathetic and sympathetic nervous systems occurs during orgasm. This then quickly followed by the resolution phase, which allows the muscles to relax, blood pressure to drop, and the body to slow down from its excited state. It's during this resolution phase that some have experienced tinnitus, I hope I'm saying that right, with or without hearing loss. So his hypothesis is that the sudden reduction in heart rate and blood pressure results in sudden pressure changes in the middle ear and reduction of blood flow to the inner ear. The middle ear is a finely tuned piece of engineering. Changes in pressure within it would change the acoustic properties of sound transmission through the eardrum and hearing bones. This might result in a muffled hearing. In addition, the reduction of blood flow to the inner cochlea might mean that the hearing nerves might experience a transient reduction of essential nutrients, which results in temporary faulty signaling to the brain. This might explain hearing loss and tinnitus. And sorry, there's one more hypothesis. I'm not sorry. This is fucking interesting. And if you can't understand this, then just like fast forward, I guess. So the second hypothesis he has is relates to what happens in the brain itself. During sex and orgasm, the areas in the brain that get switched on are the nucleus, accumbens, hypothalamus. Oh my God, these are words that I fucking learned in school and should know. Amygdala, hippocampus, and cerebellum. More importantly, the parts of the brain that gets deactivated are the prefrontal cortex, which is decision-making and executive thought, and the temporal lobe, which is hearing and sensory association center. That last bit is important. My second hypothesis, therefore, is that the change in the activity of the temporal lobe after orgasm results in a change in auditory perception. This may result in some people having a change in their threshold for experiencing tinnitus. In addition, the release of chemical endorphins may also change the activities of the neurotransmitters in the brain, causing a change in sensory perception. That was too long for you. I think we all learned a good lesson in Googling shit. Thank you so much, guys. Damn, I thought that was very interesting.
I was just
going
to say it to you, sinuses.
Yeah. No, I mean, the thing is,
I'm glad you Googled it.
Once she said that, I was like, I mean, either something is seriously wrong with you or this is something that happens. Like, for that.
And right.
Because if I fucking went deaf, I would not email the Guys We Fuck podcast. I would, there would be fear in my heart. I can't believe she just went to the shower. I would be scared. I would be like, this is going to be my whole life. I'm going to have to change everything that I know.
See, I would just be like, nah, it'll come back.
No, I would just be on WebMD so fucking fast, I wouldn't even clean the cum off me. That being
maybe
said,
that's why you would deaf this jizz in your ears, you slut.
That being said, guys, we have a wonderful guest for you this week. You've heard me talk about her before. She is a female drag performer, which is so hot right now. Ladies and gentlemen, please give a warm welcome to Vicky DeVille.
I want a dope dick, a dope dick, dope dick, a dope dick. Dope dick, 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 dope dick. Sometimes I wanna go get a dope dick and grow it so it's so thick I can't hold it, like oh shit. This dope dick is so lit, could've bottled it up and sold it, but I own it. Sometimes I wanna go. Sometimes.
full faith with it. Half dope it.
Hello. Hi. We're here with Vicky.
Hi. Yes.
That's your stage name, which we'll get into later.
Yes.
But you and Corinne go way back.
Oh, definitely.
How far back?
I think Corinne and I met, we must have been in like sixth or seventh grade, and we bonded over our love of the Spice Girls.
Yes. Oh, that was the initial bond, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It
was. How did you know?
Instant connection.
How did you guys get outed as Spice Girl fans?
Like
to each other. How'd you smell that you love Spice Girls?
I mean, it wasn't, I was very loud and proud about my love of Spice Girls.
I must have seen it on like a notebook or something. And I was like, oh my God, this girl likes the Spice Girls and I like the Spice Girls. I have to talk to her.
Yeah. Right. Because we were in middle school. And so if you liked
Spice Girls,
it was cool to like the Spice Girls.
Oh yeah. It was like 1997.
I think it's ever not pink or like the Spice Girls
when they were in their prime.
I mean, maybe if you took it a little too far, like me at one point, but I mean, I don't care about stuff like that. I was like, I love the Spice Girls.
Yeah.
So you guys have met each other. So, and then you lived together in college.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, we were friends in middle school. We were friends in high school. Mm-hmm. And then we both went to college in the city in New York.
Mm-hmm. She went to FIT and then I went to SVA.
Right. So, Corinne was kind of like my only friend in the city at that point, besides like the few people I had just met at school.
So she had to live with me.
So, well,
so it was either you.
I was her only choice.
No. Corinne of the streets.
No, like before I even moved to the city, I would come and stay at her dorm. We'd go out.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Oh, so you were part of the, you were guys hung out during your partying phase, Corinne.
Yeah. Well, Vicky's the one who gave me the nickname Corinne Fisher Party Animal.
Oh, yeah. Is there a story you could tell us?
Oh God, you know some bad ones.
Honestly, I'm excited to have you on.
You don't have to
learn about Corinne.
She is going to kick me off this podcast.
Oh, go
so
ahead.
Fast.
I'm actually curious to see, because I'm thinking of some things in my head that I now remember.
Okay, this is my favorite story, but
I love this.
It's very embarrassing for Corinne.
Yeah,
so
give it to me.
So sorry.
Go ahead.
Okay.
This is probably going to be brutal.
I believe it was my like 23rd or 24th birthday.
Uh oh.
And this was when we lived together. We lived together for like a year or two at this point. And we were in our early 20s and we were just going out all the time, drinking as much as we could, having the time of our lives.
Oh,
it was great.
Boy.
Remember those days?
So it was my birthday. My birthday is a few days before Christmas. And it was just...
Corinne's already having PTSD.
I don't even know what she's going to say. I'm nervous.
I was planning this huge party like down in the village at my favorite bar.
Yeah.
And it was like a Saturday. And it just blizzard that day. We just got hit so bad by a blizzard. And
you're like, no one's going to come to my birthday party.
Yeah, pretty much everyone canceled.
Oh, no.
Except for a couple of friends that I worked with and Corinne.
Because she lived with you.
Because she lived with
she
me.
She couldn't cancel.
So
I wouldn't have anyway.
So we're like, we don't care. We're going out in this blizzard. We're having birthday drinks.
Okay. This is coming back to me now.
Yeah. So we went to this bar kind of like close to our apartment. Some of my work friends came. Corinne didn't really know them very well. And Corinne, like, she was just tossing them back. I mean, we all were.
Yeah.
But Corinne, drinking problem.
When you say tossing them back, what are we talking? Because I, like, my first year of college, my roommate and I would do 5 shots of rubbing alcohol vodka.
Oh,
it was
cheap.
And I think back to that. I'm like, 5 fucking shots on a pretty much empty stomach.
Yeah.
So we could get drunk.
Oh.
What the fuck?
Well,
so what was that for
thing.
You guys?
Like we were poor. We had like no money to eat. We were always on empty stomachs at that point.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And it really only took like
I looked great.
Like it really only took like 2 drinks to get us like
right,
going.
Hammered, yeah.
And then we were drinking hard alcohol. I don't know. I don't remember what the exact drink was, but
I'm sure at that time it was either like it was whiskey, gin, or vodka. There was nothing else I was drinking. I never drank beer or wine, so it wasn't that for sure.
But would you drink while you were getting ready?
Because
that's my favorite time.
Probably. I always pre-game. Yeah.
Pre-game is the best.
So we're at the bar and, you know, there's a few of us. Corinne's really drunk. She drops her phone. It falls. It busts into like a million pieces. Oh. It's one of those old like flip phones.
Oh, no.
And she like tried to like put it back together herself. And I was like.
Corinne Fisher.
Oh, no.
Like,
don't even try it.
So, you know, it was getting a little bit late and Corinne's just like, I think I'm going to go home. And I'm like, okay, somebody needs to walk you home.
Yeah,
oh no,
you ruined
your birthday, Vicky.
No, you didn't.
Okay.
But you don't want somebody going home without a phone because then you can't tell if they got home okay.
So my friend Janice was like, oh, I'm leaving too. Like I'll walk Corinne out. I'll make sure
responsible
she gets
home. Asian woman. Yes.
Yeah, so, Janice
is a friend. So we, So what she had told me after she had left was that they walked out of the bar and Corinne just started
vomited
running. Running down Park Avenue in the blizzard.
Shut the fuck
into
up.
The night. Like,
no way.
There were no cars on the street. There was like barely any light. And Corinne just starts running into the blizzard.
Now, well, and Janice. Like,
Corinne, come back.
I remember this now. That you say it. I had not thought of this story.
Wait, there's more.
Wait, she gets starts better. Running to where, bitch?
I don't know.
You were so close to your
own home. I guess she was running
home.
Yeah, she must have been running home. She
no, but
all right, Forrest Gump.
I don't know.
As soon as she said that, I knew why I ran. It's because I didn't want to have to make small talk with someone I didn't know that well. I've never heard a story that defines my personality more closely. And Janice is really nice. Yeah. I just didn't know her that well. If there's any, I hate having to talk to people I don't know that well when it's one on one.
You really do.
Okay, wait. Guys, I'm going to get to the good part.
She ain't even done. Vicky ain't even done.
I'm so scared.
So
I'm not.
I had gone to my friend's apartment after the bar. We had ordered like delivery, which took like 4 hours in the snow.
Ugh, don't you hate that?
I didn't get home. I don't think it was since like 4:30 in the morning I got home.
Oh,
so
no.
I get back to the apartment and the front door.
To your apartment.
The front door is open.
To the building or to your apartment?
To our apartment.
Uh-oh.
It wasn't like wide open.
You ran right in and
but it wasn't,
right into the
it
bed.
Wasn't like latched.
I'm lucky to be alive.
Okay. I open the door. All the lights are on.
Ugh,
I don't like
waste.
The dark.
And
I don't like the dark.
Corinne's the only person I know that can sleep in like full light.
Told ya.
Like, I don't know how she does this.
Because
like,
she's scared of monsters.
I really am. So
even the one she accidentally invites in by having an open door.
Yeah. Well, I open the door. All the lights are on. And I find all of Corinne's bed sheets on the kitchen floor. And
wait,
I was like,
that were on her bed or like new ones that she's used?
So I look at her.
God damn.
I look at her room. Doors open, lights on. Corinne is butt naked in the fetal position, asleep on her bed. And I was just like...
Her sheetless bed.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was like,
there any barf anywhere?
I was like, I can't deal with this right now. So I just like went into my room and I was like, I'll deal with this tomorrow.
Oh, no.
It turns out she had like thrown up in her bed.
No, that sounds like me.
And dumped the sheets in the kitchen and then took a shower all while blackout drunk. And that's my favorite living with Corinne story.
Oh,
I have more, but
that
one's just my favorite.
Give me one more. That's great.
What if we just tricked you into being on the podcast to tell us about us?
Honestly, right? I mean, I want to know.
We didn't. We're going to go. Oh, my God.
Oh, there was one time.
Hey, she's on brand, man. She always has been.
Yep. Oh, boy.
Corinne Fisher's. That's what I love about her. Like, she has not changed at all since seventh grade.
For better or for worse,
Spice Girl fan. Yes.
No progression, but also no regression.
Yes, that's not bad. That's not bad. It's more than a lot of people could say.
So just another like quick, stupid story. I was like getting ready for work one morning.
Oh,
I think it was probably like 6:37 in the morning. I'm getting ready. And someone's banging on our door.
What the Corinne fuck is Fisher here? Naked.
So Corinne was in her room sleeping. And I think her like boyfriend at the time was sleeping over.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
probably Josh at that time?
No, I think it was Austin.
Oh, Austin. Oh, he's been on the podcast.
And so I'm going into the kitchen to like open the door to like see who the hell's banging on the door.
Banging? Like scary banging
on the door.
No.
And Corinne and Austin, instead of like getting up and and seeing, is everything okay? He gets up and locks the bedroom door.
He's really nice.
That's not on brand for Austin.
Like, I didn't know this happened until like later on when Corinne told me. She's like, oh yeah, Austin got up and locked the door. He wasn't going out there. And I'm like, thanks.
Vicky, you're on your own. I'm not fucking you.
And
bye.
And I opened the doors. This guy with this bloody face asking me if he left his cell phone here last night.
Now, did you have a party at your apartment the night before?
No.
Whoa. All right. How come? You remember this, Corinne?
No. Oh. I remember her telling me about it. I don't remember the knocking, but I remember this bloody face. We still don't know who that was.
No, it's just some rando.
Oh, so they probably got the wrong apartment.
Yeah, they probably got the wrong building, the wrong apartment.
How
probably
bloody
on,
was
they're
his
probably
face?
On meth.
How
and got
bloody
a fight
was
or something.
His face?
It wasn't like fresh blood. I mean, it was like
it was
scabs.
Crusty.
Yeah, it was crusty blood.
Oh my God. I'm
well,
so
Corinne
sorry.
Probably left the building door open,
I'm so
and that's
sorry.
How we got in.
Oh, but we had some good times there.
Oh my
like
God.
When we stayed up super late for like our finals, like I would be up all night sewing. Corinne would be up all night editing.
Yeah.
Aww.
And then like we would take a break at like 2 a.m. to like make cake soup.
Ugh, cake soup.
Cake soup?
Yes.
Is that where you put it in the coffee cup and you microwave it?
No. It's when you
it's a Kathy Griffin recipe. Yeah,
it's you mix it with ice cream and you just eat like the cake. Oh, in the ice cream soup.
It's just hot cake with great. Ice cream, really. Yeah. But it's more fun to call it cake soup. And it does get a soup-like consistency.
That was a Kathy Griffin.
Have you ever did you ever overhear so Corinne fucking or masturbating while you lived together?
I've definitely heard her having sex. Mm-hmm. I've never heard her masturbating.
Honestly, I don't think I probably masturbate like 2 times in that apartment. I don't masturbate.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's very silent when I do. All right, everyone.
Right. Wow. Okay. All right.
Oh, so my
thank
God.
You for that. Thank yes. you. I wanted some exclusive Corinne stories.
Oh, boy. Nice
maybe Corinne herself
lane.
Hasn't even heard.
I mean, I have great blackouts because I, now that you say it, I remember you telling me these things. And I actually vaguely remember the scene of us in the snow and me running.
Yeah.
Vaguely. But I don't remember dropping my phone.
Oh, my God.
But I always try to forget about that.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Let's get to you, Vicky. What was your, how'd you sexually blossom into the woman you are today?
Well, I'm not a relationship person. Like I've maybe had like 3 boyfriends in my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
But I've dated a lot. Like I felt like my whole 20s, I was just like kind of dating around, trying to meet someone that like I clicked with or someone that I liked. And, I don't know. I've just had like so many bad experiences that at this point in my life
it makes you like, ugh, what's the point?
Yeah.
You're better off by yourself.
It's like not worth it.
Yeah.
Like,
what are the bad, some bad ones?
It's more trouble to like go through the motions of trying to sleep with somebody than it is to just be like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm going home.
Yeah.
Well, I remember you telling me about losing your virginity because it was such a bloody mess.
What?
Uh-oh.
Oh, I don't think that wasn't like my first time that happened.
Okay.
It was like the first time I did it, it was just like normal, whatever.
It was the same guy though?
No.
Oh,
it was with like one of my good friends, like ex-boyfriends and that was really fucked up of me.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It happened.
Okay.
How old were you?
I was 17.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was like prom weekend. Like, oh my God, so typical. Is your virginity prom weekend?
Was he your prom date?
No.
Oh.
No. He was like, no, he was my friend's ex-boyfriend and just like.
Oh, yeah. That was losing virginity. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, then the car story that I'm thinking of is that with
was
Dom.
With, yeah, that was with my like boyfriend.
What's the car story?
And he just had like a bigger dick and like, that's why it would like hurt.
Italian
and like,
man.
I would like.
How big?
I mean, it was pretty big. It was like pretty big and girthy.
And
like
honestly, very nice person.
No. I would say maybe like 8.
Okay.
Yeah, I must have just like a tiny vag because
no, 8 is like a good solid above normal.
And plus, this is only maybe like my second or third time I had sex ever.
Yes.
Yeah.
And yeah.
But you bled?
Yeah, like a lot. Like it looked like somebody had been murdered. Like it was really scary.
In a car?
In the back of my car.
Yeah. Because I remember her telling me that she had to clean this up. And I was like,
and
what?
You know what? I'm still dealing with these problems in my 30s.
You still bleed?
The last guy that I was hooking up with, he was kind of like a fuck buddy. Like, we're friends, but we're not, like, trying to date or anything like that. And we got along really well. And I actually, like, liked hanging out with him and stuff. But, like, every time he had this, he's, like, half Dominican, half Puerto Rican, huge dick.
Mm.
And, you know, when we would hook up, it would just hurt too much.
Oh, fuck.
And I was just like, I'm sorry, bro. Like,
we can't fuck.
We can't do this anymore. Yeah. Like, I mean, we're still friends, but.
You can get tears.
I said to him, I was like, Does this ever happen to you before? And he's like, actually, yeah.
Like, that makes me sad.
Why are you guys awing? Like, poor me. I have such a huge dick.
No, but we were just talking about this with someone else, and she just said something about a 13-inch dick.
Oh my God, I didn't even know that was a thing.
What?
No.
What?
Yeah. Well, at least this guy could get it hard because let me tell you, I have like the worst luck streak when it comes to limp dicks.
You are the queen of limp dicks?
I am the queen of limp dicks.
Self-proclaimed.
Goldilocks and the unfortunate limp dicks.
You encounter and...
So much so that our friend had to tell you
Yeah, she's like, oh, when you see Corinne and Christina, tell them about all the limp dicks. And I'm like...
How many limp dicks?
So if it were like 2 or 3 in my lifetime, I would write that off as like bad timing.
Two or three guys or 2 or 3 times?
Guys.
Okay.
So just like who could never consistently get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm probably up to 9 or 10 at this point.
Interesting. Yeah. I have a close friend who has a very similar experience and she takes it personally, which I understand. But I do know that sometimes, and this is from a listening to an episode of Dan Savage's podcast, where a guy called in, and sometimes guys, if they really want to have sex with that person, with that girl or guy, and they get excited, they can almost psych themselves out and not get hard. So it's not necessarily a reflection on you.
But maybe, like, you're too hot.
Well, here's another thing. So yeah, that, I don't think that's it either.
I don't know.
But I mean, there was this one guy who I knew he really liked me, and he'd been in like a 3-year relationship. They had just broken up, and he was like, all right, let's hang out. And I was like, all right, I know you want to fuck. So, you know, we were back at my apartment hooking up, whatever, and he couldn't get it up, and he started to cry.
Oh.
And like, I was like, oh no. Oh, oh no. What am I going to do? You can't get it up. Now you're crying. I feel so uncomfortable.
Did he say anything? Was he drunk?
I mean, no, he wasn't drunk. He was just like,
oh, he was sober crying.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Aww.
Like,
he was probably going through emotional turmoil from the long-term breakup relationship.
Totally. And then just the idea of like having sexual intercourse with another woman more further solidifies the fact that he's not with the other person, maybe.
Lucky me. So there was another time a guy had come
over. Wait, what did you do? Yeah.
Hold on.
What did you do?
So he starts crying.
Did you rub his shoulder?
Listen,
did you suck his dick?
I'm not the type of person that's going to like sit there and rub your back and be like, oh, it's okay.
I mean, obviously, I think everyone knows that by the fact that we have a friendship that you are.
I'm just like, dude, find your pants. Get the fuck out. Oh, I'm going to get pizza.
But what if he was sad and he needed to talk to somebody?
Oh, I was going to get pizza for him to talk to about it. Yeah. So there was another time this guy came over. And, you know, drinking some wine, you know, watching TV.
Like a limp dick sizzle reel here.
Hooking up. Because it's not just a limp dick. There's always something that happens after.
Oh, I love
this.
Oh.
So this guy, you know, we're fooling around. He can't get it up. And so it was just like, okay, this is not happening. Let's go outside, smoke a blunt. So he gets up. And he fainted.
What?
Oh, wow. And I had to catch
him.
Life
was too much.
I was just like, whoa. I was like, okay, just lay down, go to bed. Like, he was in his like full, like he was getting ready to like go outside. He had his jacket on, his pants. And I was like, just go to sleep. And, you know,
you didn't call 911. I mean, I don't know. No, when people faint, I get freaked out.
He was okay.
He was breathing.
Yeah, I don't know. And
wow.
And then
you usually don't have to faint. I mean, call 911 if someone faints.
Ugh, drama.
I mean, I just gave him some water and like some food and I was like, just go to sleep. And
yeah, you're not dead. You're fine.
Yeah. And then
that's a Jersey girl way.
Right. Wait, there was another thing I was going to say. Oh, and then I don't know what it is nowadays, but guys in their like late 20s and 30s, like that their new thing is they don't want to use condoms. And I'm just like, you're not my boyfriend. Like, we have to use condoms.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not trying to catch nothing, no STDs or nothing like that. I'm not trying to get pregnant. I'm trying to get HPV for the third time. Like,
give me HPV once. Shame on me.
So then they're like, okay, fine. They go to put the condom on and they can't get it up. And I'm just like, I give up.
Well, yeah. And that, yeah, that pisses me off. I think that one guy's like, I can't get hard without a condom. Well, then start masturbating with a condom and come back to me when you can, because otherwise we're not fucking.
Where are you meeting the guys who don't want to wear condoms? I'm curious.
Murray Hill, baby.
Oh, God, no.
Home of the condomless bros.
These are just guys that I've known, I've been friends with. I haven't gone out on a date in like, I can't even tell you the last time. It's really hard to meet guys when all you do is hang out at gay bars.
I was gonna say when you're constantly in drag.
And although
is any of you straight?
And although I'm constantly surrounded by good looking men, none of them want to fuck me.
Right. Which I like. I mean, that kind of is fun. But then after a while, I'm sure you're like, okay.
Yeah, there are times where, you know, after a show or, you know, I'm out and we're having a good time and I see somebody that I want to talk to. I talk to them for 5 minutes and then all of a sudden like a cute guy walks by and I become invisible and they're like, they don't want to talk to me anymore. And I'm just kind of like, okay, fine.
Cool, bye.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a guy, one of your limp dickers, tell you beforehand, hey, this is a problem I have. So if it happens, it's not you or
no.
anything?
No.
Wow.
No.
Well, I mean, it seems like
they're just like, oh, let me try
don't
again.
Have an inviting bedside manner that would warrant
yeah.
it.
I know.
And I mean,
I know.
Me too. So I mean, get it.
Have you ever, like, what's the foreplay situation? Is it like you suck their dick and it's, because man, when you got a wet noodle in your mouth and you keep sucking and you keep sucking and it's still
stop,
wet noodle.
They'll stop me. Like, I'll try. Oh, that's nice. I'll try to like work on it, you know.
Yeah, put the work in.
And then they kind of just like push me off and then they go down on me for like ever. And I'm okay, I'm getting bored. Like,
yeah.
Can you get it up? Are you going to fuck me or is this it for the night?
Yeah.
And that's usually.
Because especially if it's a casual thing, it's like, well, the sex is the point here. And right. If we can't have it.
Yeah.
Or if you don't like, if like going down, like how do you like getting when guys go down on you or it's like, it's okay.
I like it like as like an appetizer.
Right.
As my main course.
Yeah,
like it's kind of like, you know, a tease when.
Right.
I know.
It leads to nothing
else. It gets you ready for the day.
Yeah.
But typically are these people who have the limp dick issue, are they better than average at oral sex?
No, just saying.
Because I'm like, that's like my thing. I'm like, you can work around. Like, to me, it's like you have to get really good at oral sex if you can't get it up that often or if you have a small penis. Like, you can work around those things, but you have to bring something else to the table.
Yeah.
Well, I can only come from sex. I can't. Okay. I've never.
You can't come from oral
no,
sex?
No, I've never had an orgasm from oral
really?
Sex.
Because for me, it's like, that's like the easiest way to come is
oh, really?
Like oral sex. Oh my
Everyone's
God.
Everyone's vagina is so different.
Yeah.
Like, when we were writing the book, it. I researched, I'm like, why can some girls come from sex? Like, they have like magical vaginas. I wish I could come from just sex, but I need a lot. I need a vibrator on me and dick in me and whatever.
Yeah.
Damn.
Production.
So when was the last time you went on a date?
Well, okay. So I went out, I was like interested in this guy. I had met him at a gay bar, but he's straight. He works there. He's like a bartender.
Oh, nice.
Like,
that's common.
Smart guy. Ridiculously good looking. Like, amazing body. He's like bartender / like male model. Nice. And, you know, he had come to some of my shows. And he's actually the only person I've ever like made out with in drag.
Aw.
Like, I've never had sex in drag, but like I've made out with this guy in drag. And I remember like my face afterward. Like, I had on this black lipstick. And by the end of the night, it looked like I had a full like goatee. Like, it was scary. Like, my eyebrows were like totally coming through. I was just like, oh my God, how could this guy even like want to look at me? Like, I look like a.
Maybe he thought
like
I was hot.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Like a drenched Dang. Clown right now.
Ooh, drenched clown.
But, you know, he like wanted to, you know, we would hang out. We would go. You know, have drinks and then he would go to work or something like that. And then the last time I saw him, he took me out like to like a really nice steak dinner. He's like, oh, let's go to this like steakhouse. Let's go get dinner. And I was like, oh, okay, this sounds really good. Like, you know, so he's like, all right, we'll meet at 7. 7 o'clock comes. I haven't heard from him. I'm like dressed and ready to go. This guy was 2 hours late.
Oh,
and so by the time he got there, I was already like mad at him.
Yeah, no
Did
shit.
He tell you like a reason that he was late?
He fell asleep.
Oh,
he fell asleep.
Drug addict?
And then when we were supposed to meet at 7,
nah, he's tired.
No. He like, he's like, I fell asleep. Well, he's a bartender, so he works at
cool,
night. And then like, he's a male model during the day, so I'm sure this guy gets like no sleep. So whatever, you're sleep. But then he had to get up and then he had to shower and get dressed and get all the way there.
Wah.
So he was like 2 hours late. So I was already annoyed. But I was like, you know what? It's like a steak dinner. Like, I'll suck it up. I'll wait the 2 hours. Like, it's a nice place. Like, I haven't.
Were you at the restaurant or were you at your apartment?
I was at my apartment and then I was at the restaurant.
Oh, okay.
So I like waited for like an hour and then I waited for like another hour.
Damn.
So, but he shows up and he just like looks like so hot. I was just like, okay,
you're all is forgiven.
So then we're sitting and having dinner and the waiter comes over and it's his roommate. I'm like,
oh, he had an in.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm like, okay, that's
cheap.
I'm like, that's fine. You know, I think he still paid for everything and like whatever.
Yeah, for 20%
but then
of
we
it,
all
that's
went out
charged.
Afterward to a bar and his other roommate was there. It turned into like their friend's night. And I was kind of, I just felt like the
You were an accessory.
Yeah. So after, you know, I had a couple of drinks and after I left, I was kind of just like, so was that a date or was that like a hangout? And he's like, can it be both? And I'm just like,
oh, you suck. Bye.
Nice knowing you.
Bye.
Yeah.
Yikes.
So. Can it be both?
No.
See, the guy, that's why no one needs to date hot people.
But this isn't even the first time this has happened. I've gone out with guys before and it starts off just the two of us. And then by the end of the night, all their friends show up somehow.
What?
Yeah.
I mean, I have only done that when I want to make it very clear that this is not a date.
Yeah. So, you know, I feel great about it. And then I just don't go out with anyone for a while. It's just whatever.
Do you think there's anything that like
you're doing that's giving off a signal that it's like because sometimes, like, for me, I play it too cool where people don't know if I'm interested, so I think there's like a lot of confusion sometimes when I'm going on dates. But like, I've lived with you and I've like known when you had crushes on people and you seem to be pretty clear.
Yeah.
Like we've authored some texts messages together to boys.
Yeah.
That's so confusing.
I don't know. Honestly, I don't even really have time to date anymore. I've been so busy, like, with my day job, which is like busy all the time. We've been going through all these changes.
Vicky's a fashion designer.
I'm a fashion designer. I design children's clothes. Mm-hmm. And my company just merged with another company. We had to move. It was like very stressful. Right.
And you don't want to like welcome in more, because dating is stressful.
Yeah.
Dating is, most of it won't go well.
Right.
You could pretty much guarantee that.
Yeah. If relationships were easy, like, everyone would have one.
So true.
But
it's interesting to me though, because I feel like I remember growing up, like, I remember you saying you kind of just wanted to be a stay at home mom and watch like Oprah and like eat candy or something. Like, this was like,
that doesn't
ages
sound too bad.
That's ages ago. I mean, obviously, yeah, like, but it seems like things have changed drastically.
Totally.
Since then.
Well, when you spend 12 years like dating around and not meeting anyone and mm-hmm, just having yeah. all these bad experiences, you're kind of just like, well, maybe this is not the path that my life is supposed to take. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm supposed to do something else.
Yeah. Cause some people think that, like, oh, I have to find somebody and settle down. But like, that's not required for anybody.
Right.
It's just socially people assume that's what's going to happen.
Right.
But like, you don't have to, because that doesn't make sense for everybody.
And even like, I met this guy, like my last boyfriend, like you know how when people say like when you meet the one, you'll know it. Like, when I met him, I was like, oh my God, he's the one. Like, I love him. Like, we're like,
what
I
was
know,
it about him?
He was just like, so I felt like I could trust him very easily. Mm-hmm. Like, he seemed like very honest, and just, he had these like big brown eyes that I like loved. I'm like such a sucker for like big brown eyes and like brown hair and like tattooed guys. Like, ugh, oh my
me
God.
Me too, girl.
Sounds fun.
And I could tell he was like very smart, like a hard worker. And like, you know, we would constantly be like texting all day, you know, and we had like I liked his friends. Like, we had like a really good relationship.
Good,
yeah, it was a good fit. And
you did look happy. I saw a lot of pictures of you guys in lobster bibs together.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I really, like, I was really happy with him. Like, we had a lot of common interests and stuff. But, you know, he was a bartender and he worked at night and I worked during the day. So we really only saw each other maybe like once a week or whatever. And, you know, we had gone through some hard times. Like, one of his good friends had passed away.
Oh.
And I think he got a promotion at work, so he was working more hours. And I think that was like the turning point in the relationship, where he was just kind of like, I'm really overwhelmed with everything in my life. And like, he just dumped me. Like,
yeah.
You know, and like, I was heartbroken. I was like completely just devastated.
Yeah.
It's like hard for me to even like talk about. Like, I still get emotional like thinking about it.
Well, yeah, I've cried over, really one breakup on this podcast a lot, but it's like fucking terrible.
Yeah.
Well, and like, the reason that it's ending is not because you guys aren't a good fit for
each
other. So it's not even like you
That's
have closure.
Worse. Yeah.
But I like my, like, I was just like emotionally like shattered after that. And
have you seen him since?
Oh God, no. He's complete, like, like, I don't know, like, I whenever I break up with a guy, like, they're just, I have to cut them out like completely.
Yeah, that's probably the more healthy option.
Otherwise,
honestly,
I'm never gonna get over. I can't, I'm not gonna
keep,
I can't
talking
be
him online
with an ex. Like, I can't do that. Like, it was just like everything, unfriend, unfollow, everything. Like, just, I had to throw
especially
away,
especially when you're hurt.
I had to throw away my bed sheets. I had to throw away old hoodies that he gave me.
Yep.
Like, any like kind of gift,
anything that reminded you.
Yeah, I had to rearrange my whole apartment. Like,
yep.
But there was a really long time in my life where I was just like a zombie.
Yeah.
I know that phase well.
I would go to work. I would go to the gym. Mm-hmm. I would go home. Mm-hmm. I like didn't have, like, I didn't even text my friends back. I wouldn't want to make any plans. I was just, I had no,
fell into a depression,
no motivation like whatsoever. Just I like, and it was like this for like a year and a half, like a long time.
Yep. Yeah.
And like, my parents would just be like, why are you in a bad mood all the time? And I was just like, I'm not happy. You know? And I didn't, and like, and just the thought of like having to dive back into the dating pool. Oh my God. Yeah. That was probably worse than the thought of being alone.
Yeah.
So, this is actually kind of how I got into drag, because after like a year and a half of just like zombie mode, like dark place, I'd reconnected with my friend Wesley from high school, FIT. Mm-hmm. And he's like so like one of the most fabulous people I've ever met. Like he has like such a great sense of style. He like knows so much about fashion. I just like love being around him. And I hadn't seen him in a really long time. And we had reconnected and I met his boyfriend, Maxwell, who was like,
Maxwell. Oh, yeah. I love him. Oh, we met him at the magazine.
Yes. And Maxwell is like just like such
he's a so stylish he's and so handsome stylish. And kind.
I just like being around the two of them was just like such a breath of fresh air.
And yeah, that was the reinvigorating energy needed.
They were
the
people in my life who were just like, Vicky, like, no, you're coming out with us. We're going to have fun.
Sometimes you need some gay men to force you out of the house.
Yeah, they were absolutely amazing.
Lifesavers.
They would invite me to these shows like, no, you're coming. Like, don't give me an excuse. Like, come out with us. And I would have a great time. And so part of this was they would go every Monday to Boxers to watch RuPaul's Drag Race. Mm-hmm. So I would start coming with them. And like, obviously, like I got very into it. Like,
right, yeah,
it's crazy. It's like sports. Like for the way straight people watch football is like the way like a gay bar will watch RuPaul's Drag Race. Like
it's
like
a competitive show.
Oh my God. It's crazy. The bar was packed. People were like silent. Aww. People are so into it. They were cheering. They were like booing. It was like, oh my God, it was so exciting. And I'm like watching these drag queens and I'm like, oh my God, these queens are like stunningly beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit. Like these are men. Mm-hmm. Like
and their makeup is like, oh my God.
I remember thinking like, you know, like beauty bloggers and like celebrities these days, they're like 90 pounds. They're usually these like privileged kids who were like turn models, who like are like filthy.
I'm a privileged person turned model.
Like fucking Bella Hadid and
Gigi. Yeah.
Although like who else? Just these like Kendall Jenner, all these like completely unrealistic beauty standards. You look at these women and you're just like, I feel bad about myself, like looking at these women. Like young girls probably think this, adult women probably think this. It's I'm never gonna be that skinny, that rich. I'm never gonna be 22 again. And like it makes you like even more insecure. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at these drag queens and I'm like, oh my God, these are men. The transformation is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And it was
almost
motivating. I was like, damn, I gotta step my pussy up. Like, this is all makeup and like fake hair and like good clothes. I'm like, I need to know their secrets.
And the way that drag queens move in high heels, oh my God, I will always be in awe of.
Totally, totally. I've seen them like lip syncing for their life, doing backflips and death drops and high heels and these huge wigs. And I'm just like, what? So, you know, after the show, like after the season that we had watched ended, I was like, okay, well, I need more now. And Wesley Maxwell, they're just like, oh, we don't really have time to like go to drag shows and stuff. But, you know, you can probably like find some queens on YouTube or Instagram or something.
Go watch a queen on YouTube.
And I was just kind of like, okay, you know, because I was still spending a lot of time at home by myself. So I just would watch all these drag performances on YouTube and these like makeup tutorials. And then I would start buying like the makeup that they recommended. And I was like, ooh, maybe I should just buy a wig. Like I'll wear it on like Halloween, but like, I would just like to have one just to have one. And I put it on and I was like, oh my God, I wish I looked like this all the time.
Wigs are amazing.
Yeah. So that's kind of how I kind of got my start in drag. And then the thing that really changed for me was for my birthday, Laura had bought me Willem's book, Suck Less. And there was a Q&A section. And it was like, well, Willem, like, what do I do if I love drag, but I don't want to go out by myself? I don't know anyone else that likes drag.
Oh, what a specific question.
Right. And I was just like, oh, my God. And his answer was so like, it was like a joke and it was like stupid, but it was like so like smart at the same time. Mm-hmm. He was like, well, as long as you have alcohol on your side, you're never really alone. Like, amen.
So true.
That is accurate.
Yeah. So I started to go to drag shows in the city by myself. And I was like, you know what? I'll just have a couple, like, I'm very introverted normally most of the time. And like,
but you're also one of the most fun people I know and always have been.
Oh, thank you. Well, we go back a really long time. Yeah. Like, so me, like, kind of like putting on my wig and my like drag makeup, which was like horrible at the time. It was just like chunky glue on my eyebrows and like a pink lip and like a lot of blush and like a wig. Yeah, like I said. And I would go to these like gay bars by myself. You'd walk in and like everyone would look at you and like size you up and you're just like, oh my God.
And very judgy. Yes.
Very intimidating.
Now, would you go to see drag shows in drag? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I would like do like my version of like drag. Yeah.
Like an homage to drag.
So I So my first drag show, like, in the city was at Rise Bar. Mm-hmm. And it was to go see Aquaria and Andorra. And their guest that night was Aja. And so I, you know, I put on my best wig. I tried to do my makeup. And, like, I went and, like...
Did you know Aquaria's work before this?
I mean, yeah, I had been following, like, a lot of local queens on Instagram.
As you recommended.
Which is what just how I, like, found the shows. Sure. Mm-hmm. So I had been following both Aquaria and Aja separately. Mm-hmm. I saw that they were performing together, and I was like, okay, this is the show. I'm going to this one. So, you know, I went to the show. You have a couple of drinks. You start talking to people, and you, like, loosen up a little bit. And I was
environment.
Thank you for the advice, Willem, you know? So I started, like, making, like, friends there and stuff. And
yeah, it's welcoming if you're not a gay man, basically.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's, like, it's weird because it's so welcoming, but at the same time, it's so judgmental.
It's very. Yeah, it's like everyone looks at you and sizes you up, and then you immediately become invisible. It's crazy.
It's very weird. Yeah.
Okay. Steven and I went and saw a drag show in Boston behind our hotel. It was like an alleyway, and it was just this bar, and no one was there. And then before the show started, like, 20 people came in to watch. And I was like, this is the best thing ever. No one knows this is here. This is fucking sick.
Well, this was not my first drag show ever. Like, I had been to many drag shows, like, before, like, something in Jersey. Like, mm-hmm. I think the first drag show I ever went to was with you, Corinne.
For my 17th birthday?
Yeah, I think it was Lucky Chang.
Lucky Chang.
Yeah, this was, like, back in the day.
I gave everyone a Ken doll dressed in drag, and it said, Corinne's 17th birthday, definitely not a drag. You see what I did there? Oh my God. Okay.
But this was, like, my first, like, really intense, fabulous Manhattan, like, drag show.
Yeah.
Cool.
So the show was absolutely amazing. Andorra came out. She was, like, serving look after look after look. And then Aquaria and Aja did a number together, and they did, I think it was Ariana Grande, Side to Side. Uh-huh. And there's a point in the song where the two of them, like, jump and drop into a split at the same time. Oh my God, let me tell you.
Pussy hurts.
When their fucking pussies hit the stage at that moment.
Well, they're tucked dicks.
I saw God. I was like, oh, that was it. That's the night it all changed for me, when my, like, interest in drag became, like, full-blown obsession.
Yeah.
And so,
just in awe of these beautiful.
I took pictures with them. I felt like the hottest shit. I was like, oh my God, like, this is, like, the most fun I've ever had, like, in the past, like, a million years. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they said to me, like, we're here every Wednesday. Like, you can come back and come as much as you want. So I was just like, yeah, totally, I'm going to do that. And so
they saw a thirsty straight girl.
Yeah. So I would come back week after week, and, like, I would just I would come in drag, and I would just work on my drag looks. And even though, like, the show was
what
late,
do you mean look? Like you know, the, like, attire or, like, your,
yeah,
the looks,
like, no, the
on
look.
Your face.
Like, you'd have to coordinate the makeup and the hair and the outfit. You'd have to kind of coordinate it all together so it looked like a look.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a designer by nature, so.
So that's perfect. Yeah.
So I wanted to, like, make, like, serve, like, a cohesive look, even though at this point when I was just starting, I was just, like, a girl in a wig still. But they were also, like, nice to me, like, you know.
Well, because
like,
I actually didn't so much work into it.
Yeah, I mean, I really wanted to try to impress them. Like, that was my thing. Like, I just kept trying to impress them. And then there were times where I was just like, it was snowing out, it was so cold, I was so tired from work, and it would have been so easy just to be like, I'm not going tonight, I'm not doing it tonight, I'm not doing it. But I, like, pushed myself. I was like, no, you're not going to get any better at this unless you keep doing it consistently.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I started doing, like, drag looks, and I was getting, you know, better and better at it. And I knew that I had really, like gone to another level when I was mistaken for, like, a boy in drag, like, once.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
So,
because I thought when women enter drag, they dress up as men. So no makeup, like a fake beard.
Right. So
I've seen that.
Yeah. That's called drag kings.
Okay.
Yeah. When women dress up as men and perform, and there are so many good ones out there, and they're drag kings. I mean, I guess the reason I got into drag so late in my life is because I never thought that, you know, women could do it.
Yeah.
It was something, you know, it was always men. And I was like, nobody, like I can't do this. I'm a woman. Like, mm-hmm. and then after, you know, watching all this, like, Drag Race and, like, just really, like, growing, like, such an interest in it, I was like, you know what? It's not fair. It's not fair that, like, I can't do this because I'm a woman.
Yeah.
Like, I really... And at that point, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to go with it. And, like, maybe I'll meet some other women that like drag.
So at that point, you didn't know any women doing it.
At that point, I didn't know any. I didn't have any friends besides really Wesley and Maxwell and like a couple of my gay friends that like, they liked drag, but they weren't like, they didn't have the same level.
Affinity towards
yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That. And were the gay men who were drag queens around you, were they cool with that? Did anybody give you shit?
Yeah, no, I've been very lucky. Like everyone, especially in New York, everyone's so open-minded and like very forward thinking. Like yeah. Everyone has just been like so supportive. I mean, if people talk shit, it's not to my face. So I don't know.
Yeah. I was talking to Vicky about this when we went out the other night, just because I have, you know, like everyone tries to make everything like some PC social issue. And then they're like, well, you know, some made up reason why girls can't do something or why women can't do something. And I'm just like, well, I mean, if you want to have that argument, it's like, well, you're kind of like telling us up almost as a like woman. What the ultimate female standard is. So then it's like, you could just hit them back with that.
Yeah.
True. It's like, I don't know. It's just like, if you're doing things with like a good intention and because you truly love and respect the art, like that's all you really need.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. I mean, I do feel like as a woman, I definitely have to work a little bit harder mm-hmm. to try to get people to take me seriously and stuff like that. Especially once I started performing.
Did you always know you wanted to?
Well, no. This was like not something I had planned at all whatsoever. So I wasn't going to be like, yeah, step by step. I'm going to start a whole new chapter in my life where I'm going to become a drag queen. And no, it was not like that at all. It was like an interest that just kind of snowballed and just like, you know.
Developed,
right. It's one of those things where
it kind of found you.
Kind of.
And then you ran towards it and you're like, shit. And then you embraced it.
You know, in most of my life, everything has just gone wrong for me. Like nothing goes right. But for some reason, once I started doing this drag stuff, everything had been going right.
Wow. You found your calling.
I was like, this being true to yourself.
Like, this is crazy. Yeah. And it was making me happy, which was like the first time in my life that I really felt like I was doing this for myself.
Yeah.
You know? And like, you know, obviously I'm not trying to do it to like meet guys and date. Like I'm not trying to do it.
Yeah. Cause if you were, I'd be like, ugh.
Yeah. My family is just like, why aren't you married with a baby yet?
And I'm really?
Just, yeah. Like I get that. I'm totally pressured from like my family, like about that stuff, especially now I'm 32.
And, yeah. I feel like a lot of women in their early 30s or late 20s get that. That's when you start getting it. It's like, hey, how about worry about your own life?
Yeah. And that's the thing.
Because obviously I'm going to do if I want to do
it. I'm like, you know what? The most important thing is making me happy. And this makes me happy. So I'm going to do it.
That's mm-hmm. fucking awesome.
And the minute it stops making me happy, then I'll quit.
Yeah. That's what you know.
But honestly, everything's been going so well. I've in the past like year or so that I've been doing drag, I have met so many wonderful people. Mm-hmm. And like, there was a point in my life like where I was just like, oh, I guess that's it for me. I'm not going to meet anyone else unless I, you know, have a new friend at work or my sister has a new boyfriend who has some friends that I know or a brother. Yeah.
But I was then it's just like you don't really need anyone.
As an adult, it is much harder to make friends than when you were younger.
For sure.
And this past year, I have made so many friends. It's such a blessing. I'm just like, wow, all these people like that share the same interests as me. And like,
that's why we always say when people write into us and they're saying like, how do I meet people? How do I find something that you love that's like an activity, like an extracurricular that you really love or that you could love or that you want to explore
or that you could force yourself to love if you really need
to. Yeah, you really try hard. But that's the best way to meet anybody, friends, potential sex partners or potential life partners, whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
Because that common interest, you already have it taken care of.
Right. Yeah. And it's also like a great way to make sure that you're meeting people like for the right reasons mm-hmm. and like not forcing yourself into a situation like because you always want like the romance to happen organically. So it's mm-hmm. like, you never know like who's going to drag their friend. I dragged like straight guys there. And like, I mean, I think you have to be pretty much soulless to go to a drag show and not fucking love it.
Dude, yeah. Steven and I, had the best time of our lives. It was that fucking Boston one.
It's
amazing.
Such a great, almost
it's
like
a higher
escape.
Level of performance that I've never experienced except at a drag show.
Oh my God.
One is like beauty and comedy all in one because it's like I've credited drag queens many times on the podcast with me being a funny person. Mm-hmm. It's like, where were the places I learned how to be funny? My dad, my gay friends, and drag queens.
Oh my God.
Drag queens are fucking funny and they're fearless.
Yes.
They'll tell you the truth.
They have such this like unbridled confidence that it just like so inspiring and mm-hmm. it's very uplifting. And do you find that when you are in drag performing,
do you find that you have this like,
yeah, like are you
somebody
more
else?
Confidence?
Well, yeah. Here's the thing. So I was talking to like a very seasoned queen recently and she was kind of just like, you know, I think it's great. Like what you're doing as a woman, you know, doing drag and stuff. But like, I think some queens might be jealous. And I was just like, well, they shouldn't be, because I mean, the only way that I have it easier is A, I don't have to tuck my dick.
Right.
B, I don't have to shave my face and chest. Right. Everything else I have to do like everybody else. I glue down my brows. I have to cinch my waist. I sew my own costumes. I have to work on my numbers. And as a woman, it's much harder to like come out and like, for me, especially, like to command the room and like, you know, hold the audiences. I mean, I'm sure it's the same with comedy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's very similar. Like when, you know,
if you come out too desperate or too people pleasing, the audience is not going to like you.
And you know, you don't want to come across as like nervous or like a spaz. So
then they don't trust you to take them away.
Yeah. That's stuff I'm still working on. Like I love performing and like, I have so many, like I'm always so inspired. I love music. I love like nostalgia and like throwback songs, and just like I love making costumes.
And when the audience connects with the song and they're excited with you.
Yeah, it's just such a great feeling. So that's something I would like to kind of improve in terms of my drag.
Yeah.
But
How much practice? How much practice do you do for your numbers?
It depends on how much time I have. Like when I first started doing it, I would like rehearse them in my apartment. Like, you know, I would make sure I knew every single word. But once I started performing more regularly, I, you know, would have like a show a week and I have work all day. I have like birthday parties and like real life stuff and like doctor's appointments and stuff to like tend to. So I don't have as much time as I would like to.
Yeah, because
you're around
getting
the city
ready
and buy things and shop and work on it.
Yeah.
So I kind of just, I have like a playlist of like different songs I like and just kind of like keep them in my mind. And, you know, when the time is right, it's like, okay, I could do this song and just, I don't have time to like block everything out.
Right.
But like, I kind of have an idea in my mind.
I feel like there's room for improv.
Like, okay, like I'll do like a reveal during this verse, or I'll, you know, I'll come out and I'll do like some floor work on this verse. And
can you tell us what a reveal is?
Oh, so a reveal is when you come out in an outfit. Mm-hmm. Usually it's like a longer dress or like a robe or something a little bit like a jacket, something bigger. And then when you do a reveal, you like kind of rip it off and then there's something fun underneath it.
Yeah.
That's like you didn't see coming.
Yeah.
So those are fun.
That's fun.
Like,
cause
yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Cause I can't do those splits and the death drops and stuff like that. I'm 32 years old. I'm like, I'm not flexible. Like I haven't danced in like a million years. So I still try to put on a good show. I just try to give some sort of other gimmick that I could serve. Right. I'm not really a comedy person either. I'm not like a comedy queen. So I try to serve looks. I try to like, you know,
because there's comedy queens, there's more traditional queens. And there are queens who are like very acrobatic. And then I see a lot of queens, you know, and it usually is like some of the older queens, but like who are just fucking have that like legendary, like Dolly Parton seasoned.
Yeah.
I've been through this. I know how to fucking lip sync the shit out of a song.
Oh God. I just live for that.
Yeah.
And like when you're a drag queen, you have to be a makeup artist. You have to be a wig stylist. You have to be a costume designer, costume maker. You have to be a model. You have to like be a comedian. And you have to be a dancer, you have to be an actor. Mm-hmm. It's like it's so many different elements that like come together and just like that.
Yeah, you're like a one woman theatrical performance.
It's really hard. It's really hard to do it. But like when you have that passion and, you know, drive, you just go for it and you try to do the best you can.
Has anything ever gone wrong while you're in the middle of performing?
Oh yeah. I mean, like I've like tripped over my own feet. I've like, you know, like stumbled here and there. Like sometimes like I'll screw up a word or whatever, but you just keep going with it. And then you just try to improve on it the next time.
Yeah. What about like etiquette when you go to see a drag show?
Oh my God. Wait, I do have a story about this.
Yes,
so, so there is a certain etiquette when you're in the audience at a drag show. Okay.
And a lot of people wouldn't know this unless someone tells them.
I mean, I'm sure it's the same. It's the same for comedy. It's so funny how drag and comedy kind of
coincide. The etiquette for comedy is shut the fuck up.
Right.
Unless they're laughing. Specifically ask you a question.
Yeah. So with drag, it's like you tip the queens. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Everyone. Okay. That's
you
a big one. Yeah.
Do not touch them. You
How much tip?
Like usually just
a dollar.
Yeah, singles. Yeah,
single. You give them singles. If you like the song, you know, give them another single. If they come out, do multiple numbers. Just, you know, if you like it, if you like something, tip something is what they say. And if you're not tipping, you're an asshole. So anyway, you, and then you don't touch the queens. They could touch you. You don't touch them. Uh-huh. And you definitely, definitely do not go up on the stage and dance with them. Like, that is a huge no-no.
I've seen somebody try to do that. And I've also seen a drag queen ask somebody to come up. So it's like,
okay, well, when they ask
you to
come up,
that's obviously very specific and rare.
They do games and stuff like that. That's totally fine. Like, but the drag queen is in control. It's their show and you have to be respectful.
Right.
So I went to this bar over the summer that I frequent a lot for the drag shows. And they had this guest queen there that I'd never seen before. And she was filling in for another queen who was like out of town that week. So, you know, I always get there a little bit early, try to get a good spot. You know, I'm having like a drink or whatever, kind of gauging the room. And if you ever see me out at a drag show by myself, please come up and ask to sit with me, because I've met so many people come up to me like, oh, can we sit with you? And I'm just like, of course. Yes. Yeah. And that's how I've made a lot of my friends.
Yeah.
It's just by like talking to people at drag shows. So a few of these, like, it was like two girls and like two guys had come over and be like, oh, can we like put our stuff here and sit with you? I was like, absolutely. So start talking to them, getting to know them, like, you know, how's your night, blah, blah, blah. And then the table next to us, it was a group of these, I think it was like three girls and a couple guys, and they were very drunk. I mean, okay. They had like so many empty martini glasses on their table. I was like, they're like a little bit rowdy. So the show starts, and the queen that I had never seen before, she comes out, she did a number, and I was like, oh my God, that was so amazing. Like, I was like living for her. So she goes back, another queen comes out, does her number. And then I could see this table's like getting a little bit rowdy. They're kind of like, they're giving tips, but they're kind of like walking up to the stage and like kind of like lip syncing a little bit with the queen.
Making it about them.
Yeah. So it was like, they were being a little bit obnoxious, but nothing like.
Nothing to like nothing, throw them out.
Right. Right. So this queen comes back on stage and she's doing like a Joanne medley.
Joanne Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
And the outfit, I was like, bam. I was like, yes, Lady Gaga, Joanne, work it. So the number starts. She's doing her song, whatever. And one of these drunk girls, queens get off the stage and come out into the audience to collect the tips and dance and stuff, whatever. So this queen had come out into the audience and this one girl starts like, kind of obnoxiously dancing with her, and the queen pushed this girl like out of the way. Now, this girl should not have been up in her face dancing with her, but this, keep in mind, is a man in a dress.
Right.
And he was twice the size of this girl. Oh, and this girl was wasted. Her legs flew over her head. Her head smashed into a metal bar stool.
Oh my God.
It was like nothing I'd ever seen.
That queen did not mean to do that, I'm sure.
The whole audience.
Maybe she did, I don't know. Queen law, baby.
The whole audience did a complete 180. It was just like that. And the queen just kept going on with her number.
No,
show must go on.
She didn't stop to be like, are you okay? Like, are you bleeding? Do you have a concussion? Like,
that is the most queen story I've ever fucking heard.
Oh my God.
Like, I was shook. The whole audience was shook.
Did the EMT have to come? Oh my God.
So the girl eventually got up and was like holding her head and just had this look on her face. Like, I cannot believe that just happened. All of her friends were like, are you okay? Oh my God. And then the number ended and it was crickets, like not a single clap. You could hear a pin
drop. And
that's
when the queen knew that, oh, I'm probably fucked up.
Yeah. So instead of apologizing, she gets on the mic and gives this like half-ass, oh, well, that's what happens when you get in the way of a drag queen.
Oh my God.
And people were just,
I'm actually not surprised at all that the drag queen did this.
Well, the other queens backstage were like, stop it, apologize.
A lot of the queens backstage and a lot of the bar staff didn't even know that this had happened.
Oh, fuck.
It was all the people in the audience that saw it. And they were just like, get off the stage. Like, you know, like that's fucked
up. Dick.
Apologize or get off the stage. It was like absolutely insane. And I left after that. I was just like, that was unbelievable.
Oh my God.
It is. I mean, there does need to be some kind of like, I feel like lecture and etiquette, not lecture, but like quick thing.
And informative.
Like, the same way like that I try to give people the benefit of the doubt. Like if it's your first comedy show, people do really, like I truly believe that people don't know how to behave at comedy shows. So the same goes for drag.
Yeah.
And it's like this new thing that you haven't seen before. You don't know how to act. And then also a lot of straight girls have a problem with alcohol and making things about them. You know, obviously I'm sure at one moment in time, we've all been that person.
Well, the beginning, early phases of our tour, we had to deal with that a lot. And I'm like, all right, because I remember you said we need to give everybody a little lecture on the podcast.
Yeah, because I don't.
Because you truly don't know.
Yeah.
And if a question is asked and it's rhetorical, I understand that you think that maybe they want me to answer it.
And you don't want to, and you, and it's like yelling at people the same, like,
uncomfortable.
Yeah, it makes everyone kind of like, it kills the vibe of what comedy and drag is supposed to do, which is make you escape, make you feel better.
Because especially the performer like feeds off the audience.
Yeah. Oh yeah, 100%. And that's what I think a lot of people don't realize.
Yeah.
That is, the audience is our energy system.
Totally.
Like that.
Yeah. And when something goes awry, like it just throws off the whole show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn. I was like, I wonder what the rest of the night was like. And I hope that girl's head is okay.
I know. I hope she's okay.
But you know, she's never going to interrupt a drag or
Hell
comedy
no.
show again.
Right?
So honestly,
so
learn her lesson.
Yeah. But I've seen this happen where drunk girls get up on the stage and start dancing with the queen. But the queen has to, it's kind of, they have to know how to professionally like take care of
dealing
it.
With a heckler, yeah. Basically.
De-escalate.
You know,
because yeah. you don't talk to them, you don't ask them any more questions where they can chime in more.
Yeah.
You know?
And I've seen queens do it like seamlessly where they like get the person back to their seat and they make it funny and nobody has to get hurt.
Well, yeah. Usually if you embarrass the person, they're not gonna do it again because they know what they're in for next time.
Have you ever had to deal with a heckler yet? Or like an interrupter.
It sucks.
It's a heckler is a comedy board, but yeah.
No, I haven't really yet. I got pushed myself once.
By another queen or by a person?
By the owner of the bar. This guy is like, he has a reputation for being an asshole. And he, like, I'm not going to say where it is, but it's like a very well-known gay bar, like in Jersey. And, you know, I used to go there all the time. Like, I love like the queens that perform there. But every year they have this like big pageant, and I went last year for the first time. I was so excited. Like I had like 15 friends with me.
Oh my gosh.
And, you know, I felt comfortable at this place because I'd been there so many times. Like, but during this pageant, it was like chaos. There was so many people. It was packed. Like security was just like, they didn't know what the hell they were doing. Mm. The management was just trying to get the show to go on. It was just like very poorly run.
Okay.
And so I was in drag. I mean, I probably didn't look that great because I'd only been doing it for a few months, but I tried, you know? So I literally just went up to go to the bathroom, and I'm coming back from the bathroom and security's like, no, you can't go this way. I'm like, oh, but my friends are right here. And this guy who was like the owner, the manager, whatever, running the show, he was trying to like walk up behind me and just pushed me.
Oh my God.
Completely out of the way, like knocked me off my heels pretty much. And, I got really upset about it and I left. I started crying. Like,
yeah, I've had somebody push me, a man push me like that. And it doesn't hit you immediately. Yeah. But then like 10 minutes later,
and like,
I cried too. Cause I'm like
crying in drag makeup. I looked like a psychopath. And,
well, cause it also is like this, it's like, it's kind of like this, it's still objectification of women in that we are treated like objects that aren't living human creatures.
Right.
You just push me out of the way.
Like we're things in the way. Yeah.
It turns out that, you know, after I'd left, you know, my friends are just like, where'd you go? What happened? And I told them what happened. And,
oh, you didn't tell anyone?
Well, no, I just left. Yeah. It was hard to find everyone. Like right, I said, I was right, like, right. 15 different people, and there were so many people. I just, you know, I couldn't. So, and they were saying, and then one of them was just like, oh yeah, I saw that happen. Like, she's not exaggerating. Like, that really happened. And then they're like, oh yeah, well, he's an asshole. He's known, he has a reputation, blah, blah, blah.
Cool.
And, like, and he also
sucks.
And he also doesn't like bio queens.
And, what's that?
He doesn't let like female drag
bio
queens.
Biologically.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So he was a gay guy.
He was just like an old bitchy diva.
Yeah.
And like, he doesn't let female drag performers perform there. And I was just like, I'm never fucking coming back here. But I have gone back there just because like all my friends like love it.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't give them any of my money. Like I don't pay for drinks there or anything like that. Like I went back for Pride. I like, you know, I love to see I would have loved to perform there, but clearly like I'm never going to. So
That's so fucking weird. Fuck. And what a weird way to handle it. Has there ever been a bio queen on RuPaul's Drag Race?
No.
What do you think? Has RuPaul ever talked about bio queens on the show? Or
I don't think he'll ever have a woman drag queen on the show. They did have their first transgender woman on the show last season, which was amazing.
Oh, nice.
Peppermint, who I've seen in New York many times. She's like incredible, great performer. But I don't think women doing drag is there yet.
Right.
I don't think they're there yet.
Okay. So Peppermint is biologically born a male, transitioned to a female, and then did drag?
No, she...
Or the other way around.
It was... I think she was born a male and then started doing drag. And then kind of people were telling her like, well, like you know, you can't be transgender and a drag queen.
Whoa. Yeah, you can.
And of course you can. Yeah. And
you can whatever the fuck you want.
And so for a really long time, she was just doing drag and like that was her career or whatever.
Okay.
And then she eventually was just like, you know what? I'm doing both.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
she transitioned and then she went on the show and it was great. Nice. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's interesting. I mean, that's a step forward because, it, it's like then obviously like, you know, if you're going by what many trans people have said, it's like you're always technically like you're always a woman on the inside, no matter what genitalia you have. Mm-hmm. So that's like a step towards mm-hmm. bio queens being.
Yeah,
on
yeah.
Them.
Damn.
It's very interesting. There's so many layers. It's so funny to me that's just like people like to be like, okay, well, this is allowed, but this isn't allowed. Mm-hmm. It's just like as long as no one's getting hurt.
Yeah.
Well, I would love it if like Michelle Visage had her own spinoff and like for bio queens, and it was just like I don't know.
That would be awesome.
And don't worry about it, man.
I love that.
Where can we see you perform? Yes. Do you want to plug anything? Like specific?
My God, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Plug away. Plug.
Okay, coming on Friday.
I have 3 upcoming shows.
Yes.
I will be back Monday, the 20th. Oh, God. I don't know the date. Whatever.
This coming Monday.
Yeah. I will be at 29th. I'll be at Pieces Bar.
Mm-hmm.
The party starts at 10. The show's at 11. It's Drag Wars. I did it last
That's
night.
That's very fun. Drag Wars is fun. And Justin Perez and I have been there.
Shaquita is like one of my favorite drag queens.
She's so fun.
I do Drag Wars because I love Shaquita so much.
Oh, I love Shaquita. Shaquita sat on my lap. It was great.
She's an incredible entertainer. She's beautiful. Like, I love her. I'm obsessed.
Yeah, I've been following her nonstop on social media.
And so I won last night. So I have to come back.
Congrats.
Thank you. I have to come back next week.
Oh my God. Yes, we're not going to be in town. So please go and support Vicky DeVille at Pieces for Drag Wars because it's all based on like if you clap loud. Yeah, it's like near Christopher Street for sure.
And then following that, I have a show actually on Super Bowl Sunday. So if there's any like people that don't give a fuck about football like me and want something fun to do in the city, we're doing a show at the Stonewall Inn. It's Sunday
Legendary.
SmackDown hosted by Hibiscus. And we're actually doing like a tribute to the Super Bowl halftime shows.
Oh, cool.
So we're gonna be serving you Beyonce, Gaga, Katy Perry, Madonna. It's gonna be a real
yes.
And we actually choreographed an opening number.
Yeah, she's been rehearsing for this for
you. That's a great idea for a show.
It's gonna be super fun. I'm really, really excited about it. And then the show after that I actually have is February 7th. It's WIPA Wednesday at La Esquina in Williamsburg. The show time is at 9:30. And we're actually, it's like the theme for that night's like Valentine's Day, like love and sex. And we're having a art auction to benefit Planned Parenthood.
Nice.
So if you want to come see a drag show, have some tacos, it's happy hour all night. And then we do a little
auction. These all sound fun. I've never gone to a drag show and had a bad time.
Like, I haven't either.
I hate leaving the house. I'm like, one of the few things that you can always get me out of the house for is a drag show. I'm like, I'll show up. I fucking love drag shows.
And you
shows.
Do. Corinne
if you're
Corinne
in a bad mood, if you're in a bad mood too, a drag show will change your night.
I can't
really
tell you how many people I've brought to drag shows and they sit down and stiff back. They're like wide eyed. They're like nervous.
What the fuck is this?
Like, what the fuck is this? And by the end of the night, they are jumping out of their seats screaming, yes, queen.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, yes, what happened?
It's so
That's
fun.
Amazing.
And Vicky dressed me up in drag one time and it was great. And then I was alarmed because I didn't look that much different.
You're just a drag version of you all the time.
That was awesome. And so on Instagram, you're at Vicky DeVille. Is that correct?
Yes.
It's DeVille. And it's Vicky with a Y.
Yes.
That's my whole childhood. Vicky with a Y. We need to get that across. Thank you so much. I'm so glad you were finally able to be on the podcast.
Yes, of course. But I didn't embarrass myself too much.
You did not.
Hell no.
Everyone always thinks they embarrass themselves. And like, don't know the amount of shit in the bed stories that we've heard on this thing. Girl, you are golden. This has been Guys We Fucked, the Anti-Slut Shaming Podcast. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Sometimes we shake a little, sometimes we let it all out. Or if we made a little bet, we would figure it out. I had a man named Bo. Oh, this touch turns cold. Cause you got 20/20 and I don't see it straight. Late. You know it's gonna be a while.
sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company that enables you to improve your mental health from anywhere, at any time, even if you're on the toilet taking a shit. Get matched with a licensed therapist from over 2,000 choices and message them whenever you need, even if you're on the toilet taking a shit. No commutes, no judgments. For a special offer for our listeners, visit Talkspace.com/GWF and use code GWF to get $30 off your first month and show your support for the show. Talkspace, it's therapy for how we live today.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.